ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। The title of the lecture this evening is How to See God. So I must thank you all very much for coming. This is the the best subject we can hear about. Generally we expect that if we have a discussion on how to see Sachin Tendulkar or Rajnikant, then many people will be interested. But we don't expect so many people to be interested in how to see God. So I thank you very much for coming. This is the proper use of the human form of life is to seek out God. We attain this human birth after many, many births. But by the force of Maya, most people don't utilize their human life properly. This lady is standing with the baby. There are more seats here if you want to sit. Ahara nidra bhaya maithunam cha samanyame tat pashubhya naranam. Humans and animals, what's the difference? The human eats, the animal eats. The human sleeps, the animal sleeps. The human feels fear, the animal feels fear. The human engages in sexual activity, so does the animal. Dharmo hitesham adhiko vishesham dharmena hina pashubhya naranam. The difference or the specific opportunity of human life is to pursue dharma. So if as a human we only eat, sleep, fear and mate, then we are no different qualitatively than from an animal. Now when we say dharma, people think of Hindu dharma, Christian dharma, Islam dharma and so on. But the real meaning of dharma is that which sustains our existence. What is at the very core of our existence? And the very essence of our existence is our relationship with God. So that approach to God, that may be manifested in various ways, but the essence is how we can find God. Savai pungsang paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje ahaitukya pratihataya yatma suprasidati. What is the param dharma? This was discussed at Naimisharanya between, this was some 5,000 years ago, the question came up, what is the parandharma, what is the highest dharma? So the highest dharma that is established there is bhakti to adhokshaja. Bhakti is a generally understood and often misunderstood term. And adhokshaja means the supreme person who is not perceivable with our eyes. So the param dharma is bhakti to adhokshaja. That bhakti has to be without any personal desire, a haituki. And apratihata means in all places, all times, all circumstances, without interruption. And this dharma will fully satisfy the self. Now, that name is given, adhokshaja, means not perceivable to the eyes, and means not perceivable to the senses. Now, if the very name of God is that He cannot be seen by the eyes, then how are we discussing how can we see God? And then how is it that so many people have seen God? There would be no meaning to the question how can we see God if it was impossible to see Him. So seeing we cannot see with the blunt material senses. We have the senses, not only the eyes, but the ears, the nose, the tongue, the skin. These are the senses by which, senses of perception, gyanendriyas. Now, it is generally understood that God is everywhere, in everything, outside everything, above everything, below everything. But He is everywhere, but we cannot see Him anywhere. Then how are we to see Him? There must be a process for seeing Him. First of all, we have to understand why we're not seeing Him. So this is a very good question. How to see God? But I'd like to present that it's not the best question. How to see God? Because, just to give an example, Arjuna saw God, Krishna. Krishna is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Young Brahma, Varanendra, Rudra, Maruta, Stunvanti, Divyaistavaihi, all the great devas, they all offer divine prayers to Him. Vedai Kramopanishadaya Gayanti Yang Samagaha, all the Vedas, the Upanishads, they all sing His glories.
Jnanavastita tadgatena manasa hasyanti yam yoginaha. The perfect yogas and yogis in meditation see him. Yes, yanta navidu sura sura gana devaya tasmai namaha. We offer our obeisance to that Supreme Lord, who the end of whose qualities neither the devas, the suras, or the asuras, they cannot come to the end of his qualities. So many people saw Krishna, but they didn't understand that he's the Supreme Person. Duryodhana wanted to kill Krishna. He cannot kill Krishna, but he wanted to kill Krishna. And even such a great devotee as Arjuna, he saw Krishna, but at Kurukshetra, he was confused, still confused. He saw Krishna, but he thought, I have a better idea than Krishna. Arjuna thought, now I have to teach Dharma to Krishna. He thought that actually this fighting is not very good. I'd better teach Krishna about this. So then Krishna taught, first of all, Krishna told Arjuna, actually, you think you know what you're talking about, but you don't, you're a fool. Nana. Yeah. Sochananda socha strong, pragyavadam chapashase, gadhasana gadhasana. Nanu sochanti pandita. You can give the translation.
So
So Arjuna saw Krishna, but he was still confused, and Krishna told him, you are a fool, you don't know the first point of spiritual knowledge. Now we understand that actually Arjuna is a great devotee, he's not at all a fool. But he appeared to be like that so that Krishna could speak Bhagavad Gita to him. So the point is that then Krishna explained Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna and Arjuna understood everything. So the point is that even if we see God, unless we understand who he is, then simply by seeing him, we may not be benefited very much. We have to recognize him also. Just like, for instance, the Prime Minister, he's always surrounded by so many people. So if he comes to Polachi, I don't think he'll come to Polachi, but we're just talking figuratively here, imaginatively. And then someone is appointed to give a speech of praise and then offer him a garland. So he gives a speech of praise, you are so great, you are so wonderful, you have done so many things. And then he walks up and puts the garland on the Prime Minister's bodyguard who's standing next to him.
Mm-hmm.
So he does. He got it all wrong. He didn't recognize who is actually the right person. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna instructs Arjuna, and through Arjuna, he instructs all pious persons like yourself who are interested to understand him. In Bhagavad Gita is known as Tattva Gyan, or knowledge of reality. So all these points we have to understand. Then when and if we see God, we will recognize, yes, this is the right person. Therefore, our most revered spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he went all over the world spreading Krishna consciousness, teaching Bhagavad Gita as it is. He came to establish Krishna is supreme. But if he was to come and say, someone say, no, Jesus is supreme. Someone else will say, no, this is your God. Someone else is supreme. And they'll go on arguing. And it simply becomes sectarian. And many people think, what, all these religious people, they're just all fighting, they don't know anything, and they become atheists. But Srila Prabhupada presented that we should accept Krishna as supreme. Why we should accept Krishna as supreme? We are all parts and parcel of the Supreme, as Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita. Ramai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. All the living beings are the Sanatan Ansha, the eternal particle of Himself. So, God is this supreme intelligence. So we also have intelligence, being His part. In human life, that intelligence is sufficiently developed that we can understand Tattva Jnana, knowledge of God. So this Vedic culture is unique in as much as it doesn't say just believe in God, but gives the knowledge with which by our intelligence we can understand the science of God. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam. So we find in Bhagavad Gita all these topics discussed. King Tad Brahma, Kim Adhyatman, King Karma, Purushottama. All the topics. What is Brahman? What is the Supreme? What is the Atma? What is Karma? What is Adhyatma, Adibhuta, Adidaiva, Adiyagya? All these points are discussed in Bhagavad Gita. Why are we suffering in this material world? How can we see God? All these topics are discussed
at the platform of intelligence, not blind faith. So the first point of spiritual knowledge which Krishna teaches Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita is that we are not this body. This body is temporary, I am eternal. Before I had this body, I had so many bodies. And I will continue getting more and more and bodies one after another until I understand my relationship with God. So this body, we have material senses. These senses we have acquired for the sake of trying to enjoy this material world. What is that? Shrotram chakshu sparshanam cha rasanam ghranam eva cha adhishtaya manas cha eva vishayanupasevate. We get one body after another. We get the sense of hearing, touching, tasting, smelling, feeling. All for the sake of trying to enjoy this material world. So with our eyes, we try to see something that is enjoyable. With our ears, we try to hear something that is enjoyable. But as long as we have this attitude that I want to enjoy this material world, we are bound up in this material world. We cannot see God because we are trying to touch, taste, smell, feel, and hear everything in this material world for our own misunderstood sense of pleasure. So how will we see God? The senses have to be purified from the misconception of trying to enjoy this material world. Atashi Krishna Namadina Bhavet Grahyam Indriyai Sevun Mukhe Hijivado Swayameva Spuratyada. With these blunt material senses, gross material senses, we cannot perceive the transcendence at Hoksaja. We cannot perceive his name, form, quality, pastimes, etc. But when we adopt the attitude of service to him, then the senses become purified and he, out of his own mercy, manifests himself to our senses. So if we chant the name of Krishna, because the name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna, is all pure, our consciousness becomes purified. If we hear topics of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam from devotees of Krishna, then gradually we become infused with the consciousness of wanting to serve Krishna.
Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam,
is a whole process to purify every one of our senses. Instead of eating food for our own enjoyment, we cook nicely, we offer to Krishna, we take prasadam. And that purifies our sense of taste. In this way, all the senses become purified. When we have no desire to see anything in this material world for our own enjoyment, then we become qualified to see God. We may think, well, how is that possible? We're in this world, we have to live in it. We can't all become sannyasis and just give up everything. But Krishna never says in Bhagavad Gita that you have to take sannyas to understand him. That could be helpful, because in sannyas life, it's all right. In sannyas life, there is supposed to be nothing but spiritual concentration. But significantly, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, who was married not only once but four times. That was normal for Kshatriyas to have more than one wife. And Krishna didn't tell Arjuna that you have to become a sannyasi. In fact, that was Arjuna's proposal to leave the battlefield and go begging. Go for bhiksha. But Krishna told Arjuna, Mama Nusmara Yudhyacha, you think of me and fight. Now, it's not that everyone has to fight, that is specifically for Kshatriyas. But the point is, everyone can think of Krishna and perform their activities in the world also. And Krishna, his very name means all attractive. So if we take up this process of Krishna bhakti, then gradually we will lose our interest in the very petty enjoyments of this material world. That doesn't mean we, again, that doesn't mean we become irresponsible. We have present here this evening many dedicated devotees of Krishna who are very seriously practicing Krishna consciousness, who are married with their children. And they're going on with their family lives, but the center of their family life is not how to get money and food, but how to please Krishna. So anyone who becomes attracted to Krishna, then automatically we start to see Krishna. We start to see Krishna in every facet of our life. We see everything as Krishna's mercy. Especially in Kali Yuga, the best way to prepare ourselves to see Krishna is to chant the names of Krishna. Very simple process. Especially the Maha Mantra is recommended. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If we chant this Maha Mantra with faith and love, that is sufficient. That chanting this holy name will reveal Krishna. He will manifest himself. Just as Arjuna saw Krishna face to face and spoke with Krishna, we shall also. Arjuna is a very dear friend of Krishna. Bhakto sime sakha cheti. Krishna said to Arjuna, you are my devotee, you are my very dear friend. But we can all have that intimate relationship with Krishna. It's not that because Krishna has some friends, he can't have more. In this very life, if we take up this practice of chanting Hare Krishna very seriously, then at the end of this life, we will not have to be born again. We can go to Krishna directly. Janma karma chame devyame vangyo beti tatvataha tyakva deham punar janma naiti mameti sorjana. You can give it. So whoever you are, whatever, however old you are or young you are, whatever else you have done previously in this life, if from now you take up this process of Krishna consciousness very seriously, then when you leave this body, you will not have to be born again. You can go directly to Krishna in the spiritual world to serve Him eternally in full bliss. Of course, you have to have faith in this. That faith is developed by understanding the knowledge that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So again, we ask you to apply your God-given intelligence to understand this subject, the best subject, the subject of who is God, how to see Him, and how to serve Him. So that's a very brief overview of the subject. When we understand that everything in this world is no real value,
then
everything we do just leads to suffering. Then we should seek out that situation of eternal bliss. That is the spiritual world with Krishna. We can go there by chanting Hare Krishna. So please go. Don't wait here. I'm sure Palachi is a very nice place. I don't know, it's the first time I came here. But don't stay here forever. Anyway, we can't stay here forever. However much we may like our nice house and our nice family, material nature will boot us out. Where are we going? We don't know. We don't know where we came from. We don't know where we're going to. So take this knowledge from Bhagavad Gita. Live this life in such a way that at the time of quitting this body, you go to the spiritual world, to Krishna. Then you will see Krishna eternally, serve Him eternally. This is the perfection of life. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this? Please ask. There may be so many questions. So, I'm not omniscient. I'm not God. I'm not Sarvagya. But as much as I have learned from my merciful Gurudev, I can attempt to answer. Yes, please.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Your school is very nice.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
And one question. Service to man and service to God is the same. But whether we are all these earlier rishis, everybody has said this, all their and Upanishad also.
Where in Vedanta and Upanishad stated that service to man is service to God? Where in Upanishad and
Vedanta?
Can you give one example from the Upanishads and Vedanta? Can you say the verse?
No, I don't know the...
I'm not sure that's there. I believe this saying was made up by Vivekananda.
That is what everybody is saying.
No, everybody, but you're saying rishis and Upanishad. You should translate. Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Nigamakalpataro Galitam Phalam, the ripened fruit of the desire tree of the Vedic knowledge. That states Yatataro Mulam Nishechenena Tripyanti Tatskanda Bhujopashaka Pranapahorach Chayatindriyanam Tataiva Sarvahana Matyuteja. You know, you can get the translation. So if we serve Achyuta, the Supreme Lord, then everyone else is served by that. It's not round the other way. This Vivekananda invented this Manava Seva is Madhava Seva. So his idea was actually to imitate the Christian missionaries, that if you make hospitals and schools, that is service to God. And he invented the idea of Daridra Narayana. That if you give clothing and food to the poor man, that is service to Narayana. But Narayana is Lakshmipati, he is not Daridra. So this is a great misunderstanding that's not in Vedanta, it's from Vivekananda. Who wanted to propagate this as a as to stop the Christians, that was his idea. But you just consider, if you feed a hungry man, then again he'll get hungry. You can open schools and hospitals. And we're not against that, that's also required in human society. But opening schools and hospitals doesn't stop birth and death. So the best service to human society is to give the knowledge of how to get free from birth and death. Then they'll never be poor, they'll never be hungry, they'll never be sick. So the best service to God is to give knowledge of Him to human society, and that's also the best service to human society. So in this way, service to man is service to God. If we serve man by giving him accurate knowledge of God, otherwise, there's nothing inherently spiritual in giving bodily service. Even the dog, the mother will look after her children. Is that spiritual? I don't think so. So that's why we were taught by our Sri Gurudev, we should always base everything on Shastra. Otherwise, there are so many funny ideas propagated, which are not actually based on Shastra. So this idea that service to man is service to God, you presumed it's in the Upanishads, but it's not. So real spiritual education is required. People in India, they spend lakhs and lakhs on their children's material education. they don't think of the spiritual education. And for lack of spiritual education, so many bizarre things are going on. For lack of spiritual knowledge, so many people are worshipping these babas and saying they're Bhagavan, which has no basis in Shastra, no basis in reality. In Hindi, there's this saying, Garv se kaho hum Hindu hai. Say it with pride, I'm a Hindu. But I don't know how proud you should be. You see, the Christians, they study the Bible, and the Muslims, they study the Quran, but it's hard to find anyone, Hindu, who knows even one verse of Bhagavad Gita. So, any question, please? There's another question here, please. Yeah, it's coming. Yeah, the mic is here. All right. God means supreme. In Gita, Krishna says, Matah parataram nanyat kinchid asti. No one and nothing is above me or superior to me. But God is not obliged to be as we would like Him to be. He is as He is. We are contingent on Him. He is not contingent on us. So, actually, God is one, but He takes many forms. Different devotees approach Him in different ways. Those who want to approach Him in a very respectful, majestic way, they approach Him as Lakshmi Narayana. Those who want to approach him in the manner of being a citizen of a very loving and kind king, they approach him as Sitara. Those who want to approach him in his most playful and blissful aspect approach him as Radha Krishna. So he enjoys himself by manifesting in various forms and he pleases his devotees in this way. We cannot say, well, there should be only one way if he himself wants to make himself available in many ways. Therefore, knowledge of God is required. Practically, if we ask so many people, they may say, well, God is like this. But who has got knowledge of God? In the Vedic tradition, there is so much knowledge of who He is. Mostly in what we may say other religions, there's no real knowledge. So if we understand Bhagavad Gita, everything, if we understand Bhagavad Gita as it is, everything will become very clear. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also discusses himself as the Supreme Lord and the various devas, the various demigods. He says, Aham adir hi devanam. I am the origin of all the devas. So, Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narasimha, all these different avatars, they are all Vishnu avatars. They are all manifestations of the one Supreme God.
Matsya, Kurma, Varaha,
performing various wonderful pastimes for the upliftment of the world and the pleasure of his devotees. And Shiva, Shakti, Indra, Chandra, Vayu, they are all various devas. Of course, Shiva's position is very special. He is in one sense non-different from Hari. So this does become a somewhat complex subject. But then why should we expect the knowledge of God to be ABC for children? It's the highest knowledge and we should make some effort to try to understand it. But we can simplify it also. We are recommended to focus our attention on one form of Vishnu. But we should understand that he does manifest himself in various forms. If you want something very simple with just blind faith suitable for children, well, you can have that, but it won't help you very much.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Swamiji, do you think it is time for Lord Krishna to take a new avatar to serve God Dharma in this world? Why I am asking this question is that the people of our days are so intolerant and indifferent. And to certain extent, they are violent in character, the running of money, and the material. If they want this separate money, they do not seem to be happy. Why, Swami? Is there any reason for this?
You can say in Tamil and then explain it to me again in English.
கடவுள் சிஷ்யர் வந்து இப்ப இருக்கக்கூடிய காலகட்டத்தில் இன்னொரு அவதாரம் எடுத்து எடுத்து இப்ப மக்களை சமாளிச்சு வராங்க. ஏன் இந்த கேள்வி கேட்கிறேன் அப்படின்னா, இப்ப மக்கள் வந்து
so he said, is it not time for Lord Krishna to take an avatar? And what else after that?
And then he said that the question I'm asking is because people are quite indifferent, intolerant, they are not happy, they are having so many problems, quite a situation. So can God come?
Well, the condition of this material world is dukhalayam, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. It is a place of misery. And especially in Kali Yuga. So Krishna comes to this world from time to time. And he sends his representatives also. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita directly to Arjuna. And anyone who speaks the same message without any change, we can get the same benefit as Arjuna did from hearing from Krishna, if we hear from someone who repeats the message in the same way without changing it. Srila Prabhupada went all over the world and gave the message of Bhagavad Gita as it is. And in this way, he has manifested Krishna in so many people's hearts. So Krishna is present in this world now. In the form of this Hare Krishna movement. In the form of his teachings of Bhagavad Gita, which are being preached all over the world. In the form of the Hare Krishna mantra, which is being vibrated all over the world. So everyone can take advantage. Krishna, when he comes, some people take advantage and others, they're not interested. So we can't help those who are not interested. Krishna gives us some independence to choose to accept him or to choose not to accept him. So he is present now and everyone can be benefited by this Hare Krishna movement. So you please take up this Krishna consciousness very seriously. Krishna will manifest himself in your heart and you can help so many others come out of their misery and come to Krishna. Just wait a minute. One minute, please. 1 minute.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
How do we define devotion? Whether it relates to the form or formless? Because Sankara, you know, when the Lord is saying, devotion is two kinds. One is devotion to the form, and another is devotion to the formless, the absolute consciousness.
Sagun Nirgun Brahma.
Sagun Nirgun. Whether the, what we are talking there is, it relates to Saguna, or it relates to the Nirguna. That is number one.
Number
that is number.
Number
is number. What is the whether the divinity expresses itself by the destiny prapta? Whether they are all controlled completely by the prapta or the destiny? Or we have self-controlled free will? That is number.
Just 1 minute. We can tell people who are leaving, they can take prasadam.
Okay, one by one.
I think we should take one by one questions. Let's go one by one, because people are... You see, people are leaving now, so we should take questions. I think we should.
Finally, I will come to this. What is sacrifice? So, Supreme Knowledge is attained only by sacrifice.
I think you should announce the books and everything now, and then we can go on afterward.
Hare Krishna.
People are leaving. People's tolerance level has...
Thank you.
Session course. You better do it quick because everyone's leaving. So, so thank you to the Swami Gal for the questions. Which I think we'll just have to deal with them quite quickly because it seems that many people they're ready to go. People have to send their children to school tomorrow and travel some distance and so many things. And obviously these topics, they could be dealt with at great length. But briefly, I will say, on the topic of Sagun Brahma and Nirgun Brahma. This is fully harmonized in Srimad Bhagavatam. Vadanti tat tat vidas tatvam yaj jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabhyate. That one supreme Brahman is known as Brahman, as Paramatma, and as Bhagavan.
Yeah.
bhakti is fully manifest to the person Bhagavan. Because bhakti means Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchase Sarvo Padivinir Muktam Tatparatvena Nirmilam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchase. Bhakti means to engage the purified senses in the service of the master of the senses. So the full manifestation of bhakti has to be to engage the senses by touching, tasting, smelling, feeling, hearing in relation to Bhagavan. So this means the form of Bhagavan. We have to see the form of Bhagavan. To hear, we have to hear the name. It is not quality less, it is with full qualities. So nirgun can be understood to be without material qualities. Beyond tamaguna, rajaguna, sattaguna, there is the transcendental guna, shuddha sattva. Actually, there cannot be anything without any guna or quality. Even if we say nirguna, that is a description of it. So there must be some conceptualization of it. What was the second question?
Second question. We're not. Everybody is completely controlled, or is there
something? Are we completely controlled or not? Well, if there's total destiny, then there's no meaning to speaking Bhagavad Gita. After speaking Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said to Arjuna, "Yatechasi tatha kuru. Now I've told you everything, now you decide what to do." So we are to a large extent controlled. I did not choose to be born in a particular body, in a particular time, or a particular place. So according to our previous karmas, we get different bodies. But in human life, we have the independence and intelligence to choose how to use the situation we are in. And in this way, we can make more karmas, good or bad karmas, or we can become free from all karmas also. If we were totally controlled, we'd be nothing more than figures in a cartoon. There would be no meaning to bhakti or Bhagavan or anything. Then what was the third question? There's the third question he was asking. He was giving, what is sacrifice? Well, there's the, yeah.
Well, we have the English word sacrifice, and that's often used as a translation of the Sanskrit word yajna. Oh, how is divinity to be attained? Well, that's Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita. Na karmana na putrena. What is the definition of sacrifice? Okay, shall we just take the question as it is now? Is the sacrifice to the divine or sacrifice to the supreme? The supreme. Supreme. Yeah, well, when we talk about this, did you translate it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, when we speak about the supreme, he's the supreme everything, so he's the supreme divine also. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bhaktya mam abhijananti. I can be understood, fully understood by bhakti. So, someone else, this lady was saying Pragyanam, Brahma, all these things. Yeah, give the mic. There's no sound from the mic. Ah, please, Sulanga, say again.
என் மனசுல இருக்கோம்
Aham Brahmasmi, but there's another term also, Param Brahma.
Aham Brahmasmi
Aham Brahmasmi means I am spiritual by nature. Brahma means Satchidananda, eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna addresses Krishna as Param Brahma. So he is Satchidananda, but he is Param, he is supreme. Then comes the question of bhakti. Bhakti means service by the subordinate to the superior. So we are Brahma, but he is Param Brahma. And when one actually understands that I am Brahma, then we understand Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We are part and parcel of the Supreme Brahma, and our duty is to serve Him. That is bhakti. Bhakti means a relationship of love. Simply to understand that I am divine, that does not evoke feelings of love. But the beautiful form of Krishna, the beautiful names of Krishna, the beautiful leelas of Krishna, that evokes loving feelings. So the full manifestation of understanding aham brahmasmi, is to understand that I am Brahma, Krishna is the Supreme Brahma, I have to serve Him in bhakti with full love. That is the fullest manifestation of divine life. So knowledge is very good, and I've spoken a lot about that. But the ultimate aspiration is our heart's love for Krishna. Just like this mother is showing automatically love for her tired son. Taya has her tired son. So she doesn't think, oh my boy, she doesn't make some logical analysis. She puts her hand around him and comforts him. So this is a manifestation of love on the material platform. And love for Krishna is on the spiritual platform, unlimitedly greater than any material love. So we can ask all the mothers, you love your children. So give them Krishna's love. That will be the best manifestation of your love for your children. And give them knowledge of Bhagavad Gita also. Hare Krishna.
Last year, we heard a strong scientist here from the new particle, Higgs boson. That is a dark particle. And you say that.
Somebody saying?
You say that.
God.
You will want to think, sacrifice yourself, and you will realize the God. And whether to follow Higgs boson's God's particle, that scientists are doing some miracles. So, which to follow? Whether to follow the divine or to follow the science?
Well, the term God particle is a bit overblown. The particle is not God. We had better ask who made the particle and worship that person. The best scientist will worship God. You'll understand that I'm applying my intelligence to understand this whole cosmos. It's so complex. Who has made it must be the greatest scientist. That is the perfection of science.
Hare Krishna. So, you have told us, if we purify our five senses waves, we can see the God. My question is, when we sleep in, all our five senses are switched off, as well as meditation also. So, through meditation, we can see the God face. Why we can't see the God while sleeping?
Purify the senses doesn't mean just to turn them off. Purify the senses means to become free from kaam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, lust, greed, anger, illusion, pride and envy. So it's a question of attitude. If we employ the senses for our sense enjoyment, then we're not qualified to see God. If we want to engage our senses in the service of God, then He'll be pleased to reveal Himself to us. Nowadays, people think meditation is some kind of relaxation technique or something like this. But actual meditation means dhyana vastita tadgasena manasa pashanti yam yoginaha. Meditation on Vishnu is meant for seeing God. If we have the attitude to enjoy this material world, then we'll have dreams of enjoying this material world also. So I think it's I see people are looking at their watches. So Hare Krishna, Ramanandri, Hare Krishna.